Welcome to Influencers, Men's Ministry.
Lord, shine your light on me. Lord, shine your light on me. You're the Heavenly Father. You're the King of Kings. So Lord, shine your light on me.
Influencers is a ministry to men designed to help men live Christ-centered lives, no matter where they're called to worship. You may find us on the web at influencerswest.org.
We're on this series called Why I'm Excited About Being a Christian. And we talked about five things, which I'm not going to review for you because I know you remember them all and you're tired of hearing it. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about humility. I want to start a number seven today. And number seven is two words, faith versus fear. It's not like we hadn't heard that before, but men struggle with living out what we say we believe. Amen?
Amen.
We struggle with believing one way and behaving another, especially in a crisis. Oswald Chambers said, most men are atheists in a crisis. They got their theology down in most situations. They believe all the right stuff. They believe Jesus is Lord of my life and God's Word's the final authority in my life and I'm becoming a man of prayer and I link together with like-minded men and I give it away. Unless things aren't going my way. Unless things are difficult. Unless I'm going through some trials. Unless my wife is on the wrong side of the bed. Or I am. Unless the boss isn't treating me right. Or I'm having financial trouble. I just got bad news from the doctor. Or I'm in a hurry, I'm late, and there's a traffic jam. I mean, I could go on and on. We could spend the rest of the day talking about all the things in our lives that are difficult, that try our patience. These are the times that try men's souls. That's the world we live in. We live in a world that tries our souls. We live in a world that is full of difficulties and pain, disappointments, and heartbreak. We weren't designed for that, and we can't handle it on our own. I mean, just look at all the mental hospitals. Look at all the PTSDs from not just war, but from marriage and some jobs. The medication, the drug addiction, the alcohol addiction. The men who have been trapped in an old man code who can't share what they're hurting and can't share their needs and afraid somebody will think they're not a real man. And so they isolate and they hide and they wear masks. We do. We talk about this a lot in here. I need to hear it again. So how do you be a man of faith in all situations instead of a man of fear? Had a guy come to me and I can't remember if I shared this with you before, but he came to me and he said, what do you think about bankruptcy? And I said, why, are you thinking of declaring bankruptcy? Well, a small group of guys said that I probably should do that. I said, really? Okay. What do I think about it? Let me ask a question. If you declared bankruptcy, who would benefit? He said, I would. Well, who would suffer? I guess everybody I owe money to. Okay, well, in light of that, if you declared bankruptcy, would that be a faith-based or a fear-based decision? I don't know. I guess if you put it that way, it'd be a fear-based decision. I said, okay, well, then make whatever decision you feel led to make. But keep this in mind, God never honors fear. He always honors faith. God's always looking for faith and men of faith. Bill looked up, because I challenged the guys on Wednesday to look up, how many times in the Bible the word fear, how many times was it? If don't be afraid, don't be fearful. 200 and something times in the Bible. Why is he always telling, oh, you have little faith? The only thing that ever amazed him, as we've talked about before, is when that Roman centurion, who basically came from a pagan background and wasn't obviously a Jew, and he exercised faith. Well, I have a servant, and he's really suffering, and he's sick, and well, I'll go. You don't have to go. You just say the word, and he'll be healed. And Jesus, it says, was amazed that this non-Jew had, he said, I haven't seen faith like this in any of the Jews. He's looking for men of faith. Jerry Leishman looked at me one time and said, you think we're going to be afraid all our lives? I said, probably. I want you to turn to Isaiah 41:10. There's over 200 verses like this in the Bible, but we're going to focus on this one today. The question is, how do we move from fear to faith? How do we be men of faith in a crisis? How do we get to the place where we don't have to be afraid all the time? And there's so many things to be afraid of, but man, there's a few things that men are most afraid of, and one is failure. Feeling like you don't measure up, you're not good enough, you don't do enough, you don't serve enough, you don't know enough, you're not smart enough, you're not fast enough, you're not wealthy enough. Here's what it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow, this is a stick of dynamite. It might be a whole bundle of sticks of dynamite for the subject matter we're talking about. Let's just break it down. Don't fear. That's like over in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Yeah, really? Do you understand what's going on in my life? Do you understand what I'm going through? Do you understand what just happened? Do you understand my trial? And you're telling me not to be fear or worried or anxious? Well, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I mean, you don't have to be. You want to be fearful and worried and anxious? Go ahead. It's your choice. It's amazing how God gives us choices. And being thankful, for instance, is a choice. Thankful in all things is a hard choice, but you can be. You can be thankful for everything in your life. That's up to you. You can be afraid of everything, and that's up to you too. So here's what God's counsel is. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Why? He goes ahead to answer this. This is all we need right here, but he gives other things in here that reinforces why we shouldn't be fearful. He did the same thing with Moses. He said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. My children have been crying out for 400 years, and they about lost interest in me because I haven't delivered them yet. And that happens to us guys if we're praying and praying and praying, and God doesn't seem to be answering. And our prayers aren't getting past the ceiling, evidently, because God's not answering my prayer. He hasn't cured it, stopped it, given me a job, solved my problem, whatever it is. And it just keeps lingering on and on. Some of that on and on and on stuff is God waiting on us to respond correctly. God waiting on us to be men of faith, to learn what he's trying to teach us in his character, the fruit of his spirit, and not to be fearful and worried. But then again, you hear the voice, yeah, but you don't know what's going on with me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard this is. You know, maybe we just should visit the cross again. Isn't that what Jesus said his last words was? This is really hard, and I'm sorry I did it. Looking out at all you guys, and I died on the cross for you. To be as faithless as you are, as fearful as you are, as apathetic as you are, as lazy as you are, I'm going down my list of Pete's stuff. Don't fear, for I am with you. Moses, go and see Pharaoh. Now, Moses had killed a guy and had to leave town. He wasn't sure the statute of limitations had run out on that. Go see Pharaoh. Well, Lord, I can't speak. You got the wrong guy here. I asked guys before, would you share that testimony with the guys? I can't speak. I've heard that the number one fear of all Americans is public speaking. That was my number one fear. When I was young and guys, you know, I was a ball player and they're asking me, well, won't you come give your testimony to our youth group or whatever they were asking? And I'd shake like a leaf, scared to death. Scared I was going to make a fool out of myself, that they wouldn't like what I had to say, that I'd say some of the wrong things. Started going over the list of all the things that could go wrong here, and then I said, what could happen? Well, I've never had success doing this. So here's a principle. Usually when we're fearful, and the Lord answered it right here, do not fear, for I am with you. So get your eyes off of you and get them onto me. It's not about your gifts, your ability, your intelligence. It's about my power, my might. Not by power, but nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Some of these guys are trying to get there. You guys keep doing it. I am with you. Moses, look, I'm going to be with you. And Moses still had a problem. And so he gave him Aaron to be his mouthpiece and to go with him. God understands your struggle and mine. And then Gideon had the same problem. God goes and sits under a tree and sits and looks at Gideon down in the hole, sifting wheat in a wine press, afraid of the Midianites. Mighty man of valor. Who, me? God is with you. Well, if he's with us, how come Midianites are kicking our booty? How come these guys are stomping on us like they are? Isn't that typical of us guys who are fearful? Is I am with you enough for you? Can you personalize this in whatever trial you're going through? And God says, I am with you. I got this. All I need is a guy that's available that'll go and represent me. When they drag you in front of courts and kings, don't worry about what you got to say. I'll give you the words to say. I'll give you exactly what you need. I am with you. Now this begs the question of your concept of who God is. If God's Almighty God, if He's all-powerful, if He's omniscient, if He hung the stars and created all the universes they keep discovering out there, is that same God able to take care of your major crisis? Is that same God able? I used to be a young man paying bills, and I'd get them all paid, and I'd go, "How am I? You got no money for the rest of the month?" And I'd lay there in bed going, God, how are we going to get through the month? And He'd say, well, since I'm the God, and He told me exactly what I just told you, that hung all the stars in the universe and holds everything in place and all powerful and all knowledge and all wisdom, I got this. So won't you just roll over and go to sleep? Have a good night's rest. I'm on duty. And I would. And He'd get us through the week. We never missed a meal. Had a lot of help from Him through other people. But God always was faithful. And He always will be. But He had to prove it to me. But He did. Here's, not only did He say, I'm with you, He says, don't be dismayed. That means don't lose courage. When the crisis comes and courage is required, God expects His men to have courage. Well, why? His men to have such confidence in themselves. Confidence in their gifts and their ability and what they're able to do. It's not what He said, is it? Have confidence in Him that they'll be the reliable ones, the safe ones, the strong ones, the ones that people turn to in their crisis, who have built their life on that solid rock of Jesus Christ, not on the shifting sand of everything else. Everything else is shifting sand. Only He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He who is says, I am with you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't be fearful. You know what? I'm going to strengthen you. You need to be strengthened. You feel weak right now? You feel like, you know, you hardly put one foot in front of the other emotionally, financially. Has had a hard time physically getting here today. And he's saying, I'm going to strengthen you. And we sing songs about it where my strength is in the Lord, from which cometh my help. But in the crisis, when we really need strength, and this is where we learn strength, we just use all ours and the job's still not done, and we find out mine's not enough. I need something that's way beyond my power, way beyond my strength. And then we find out when we get to the bottom of the dregs of our own abilities and our own efforts, and God's just sitting there waiting on us to get there. When we've been leaning on our own understanding, which he said, really don't do that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Don't lean on your own understanding in all your ways. He's an all-in God. In some of your ways, in a few of your ways, every now and then, put your trust in God. No, in all your ways, acknowledge him. There's a promise in that, and I'm going to make your path straight. All that crooked stuff you've gotten into because you've been trusting in the wrong faces and places, the wrong powers, ladders leaning against the wrong wall. I want to make sure if you're going to climb a ladder, make sure it's leaning against the right wall. And he's saying, I'm it. I'm the one that's with you. I'm the one that tells you don't be dismayed. I'm going to strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What else you need to know? See, before you're going to be able to say, boy, I'm all in, I got you, I hear what you're saying. If you have any doubt at all about God's goodness and righteousness, if you have any doubt at all about God loving you and caring for you, if the cross hasn't convinced you of his love and his sacrifice and his suffering on your behalf, none of this is helpful. If your whole concept of God is messed up, like that guy that got the one talent and one guy got three and another guy got five. And the guys with three and five, when the master came back for an accounting, which he will and does. And the guy with five says, I invested it and here's ten. The guy with three said, I invested it, here's six. And the guy with one, though, it didn't work out real well for him. He said, I knew that you were a master who wasn't really fair and just. And you reap where you have not sown and gather where you have not scattered. And so I was afraid and I hid my talent in the ground. Here it is. Here's your one talent you gave me. Oh, you knew I was a wicked taskmaster. You're the wicked servant. You were afraid because you didn't believe that I am who I said I am. And that I am is with you. And that I will strengthen you. And instead, you kept your focus on the problem, not on the solution. Here's a real principle here. You never solve the problem focusing on the problem. You solve the problem focusing on the solution to the problem. And we're famous for just treating symptoms, but not going to the root of the problem, and that would be faith in a man's heart. See, guys, we're not going to get into heaven without faith. We're saved by grace through faith. And a lot of us have never really made that jump. Grace and faith from fear. And so that's a challenge that you've got facing you right now. Because if you're living and breathing and you're upright, even if you're not upright and you're living and breathing, you've got stuff to be fearful about. And it's your choice. You want to be fearful or not. You're going to be a man of faith or a man of fear. Just think about whatever big decision you have to make. And this may not cover every decision you have to make, but it covers most of them. Just think about this. Make the decision that requires you to exercise the greatest amount of faith in God. Amen. Well, should I go and do that or not do that? Well, is that going to require a great amount of faith to do that? Which is usually the right thing to do when it does. I mean, if the guy that came, I don't know what the guy did. I don't know if he declared bankruptcy or not after we had that talk, but he had a choice to make at that point. Now, if he was going to say, well, I'm going to trust God, because that requires a lot of faith. It doesn't require a lot of faith to leave everybody hanging that you owe money to. It requires a lot of faith to believe that God will give me the ability. It may take some time, may take a month or two, a year or two, or several years, but I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to pay back what I owe. Even if I have to deny myself, if I have to discipline myself, have to humble myself, I'm going to get it done. And I'm going to get it done right before God and before these people that I owe money to, because I am not going to put my God to shame by saying those Christians. Don't get involved with those Christians. How many times have I heard that? They talk a good game, but when it comes right down to it, they're into the bottom line. They're into the money. So guys, here's a challenge that you and I have. Are you going to believe that God is who he says he is, and you're going to apply that to whatever decision you got to make or whatever trial you're going through? Are you going to say, okay, make a declaration, I will not be fearful about this, I will trust God. I'm not going to decide to run and hide. I'm not going to get angry and bitter. I'm just going to say, God, I'm all in. I'm going to give you this opportunity to prove yourself great, and people will know that the God of Israel is God. My God is God, and Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And here's the deal. It's that no matter what thing, I'm going to trust God. I don't care. It's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thing. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar, greatest, mightiest, most powerful man, you worm, in the world. We've already talked about it. We checked with our God, and we're not bound down to your stinking idol. And you know, we've thought it through. We're not only going to not bow down, but you need to understand that our God will deliver us from your hand, and even if he doesn't, we ain't bound down. See, there has to be even if he doesn't in there. We're afraid to trust God because he may not come through, and then he'll look bad, or we'll look bad. And God says, look, even if I'm not working this according to your plan, and you're going to go in the fire, and I'm going to allow you to be martyred for my sake, you need to just keep in mind that you serve me, I don't serve you. And if I gave my only son, can I give you, or can I take yours? That's what he asked me when he took mine. Can I have your son if I want him? If that'll serve my purpose and glorify me, can I have your son? Can I have your wife? Can I have your job? Can I have your ability to function physically? See, those are decisions we have to say, okay, God, I'm all in. Help yourself. And I know you'll help me, because you already said you will strengthen me. You will help me. You will uphold me. And there's where you find the agape love, the unconditional love. There's where you find the strength that you need. And that's where you experience all that God is. And men who don't go there and they're not all in and they don't say, God, even if you don't, I'm your guy. Even if you don't answer that the way I like it to be answered, you can trust me. Because I'm trusting you. It's not like Peter who said, I'll go die for you. Peter didn't understand at that point. He thought he would. He was zealous for Jesus at that point. But when the crisis came, aren't you one of his? He found out he didn't have it in his own power, in his own might, in his own strength. He became a coward. Even to a little girl. And cowardice is one of the things that puts men into hell. When you should have his strength and you don't rely on it and you don't call on it. I'm challenging you right now. Call on the strength of the Lord in whatever you're going through. Give God a chance to glorify himself in your trial, in your heartache, in your sorrow, in your disappointment. And I was talking to a guy at the Wednesday group, and this guy's been out of work. He's worked like a dog for 40 years, and he had to take some time off. Quit his job, take care of his mother, but he's got to go back to work. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what God may have for me. That's not what he said, actually. He didn't throw God into it. He just says, I'm just not sure what the future holds. And I said, well, do you know who holds the future? Fear says, I don't know what the future holds. Faith says, I cannot wait to see what God has for me. That's what faith says. And we need to be men of faith. If there was ever a time that you needed to be a man of faith, it just does not work. I'm a Christian, but I'm scared spitless. There's just something wrong with that picture. And I'm going to ask you the question, when are you going to get there? Are you going to be a man of faith one day? Or can you be a man of faith right now, today, in your circumstance, whatever it is, and in the ones that are on their way? You prepare your heart by emptying it and filling it with God's presence and spirit. And then, it's not you meeting the crisis, it's Him in you. There's the verse right there. It's Him in you meeting the crisis. And then God will get the glory in this country, this nation, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives will know that there is a God, and He's Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Stack hands right now. And let's Father, that's what we're doing right now. Isaiah 41:10, we're going to believe that and make some declarations. I will not fear, for God is with me. I will not be discouraged or dismayed, because You're going to strengthen us. You're going to help us, and You're going to uphold us with Your righteous right hand. Father, we're available. Help Yourself to our lives. We know that You won't let us down. May we not let You down. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.